Amen. Last week we started out in the book of Malachi, and Malachi is one of those, first of all, we talked about he's one of the minor prophets. Minor not because of his message, but because of the size of the book. I also mentioned that he is the last book of the Old Testament, and that his ministry took place after the walls had been built and the temple had been as quick and as fast as we wanted to, we get a little attitude. Amen. Hey, all right. Yep. Amen. You know, Lord, you said, but yep. You ain't done. Yep. And so they started complaining. First thing they said, Lord, you don't even love us. And God has Malachi begin it by saying, I loved you. Past tense. I didn't just start loving you. I've been loving you. Ain't a new thing. You know, sometimes, huh? How did you get here? Come on. And so God said, listen, I ain't just start loving you. And he had to remind them of some stuff. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in situations where God then had to remind me of stuff. I don't really like them. Because usually it shows you just how out of order I have become. When he got to remind me of some loving you, and then goes and says, and I shall love you. And he goes on to tell him the whole thing. So that's where we left off last week. And you know, if God had just stopped and talking about y'all got all confused about how I feel about you, we could have said amen and been done. But you know, God, once he get him started. When it come to the point that he got to raise up a prophet to say something, in other words, reverence, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now, you know, you would think that the priests would have better sense than to despise God. Had Moses darn near cussing. Church people can make you want to cuss. You know, this is the end of tax season. And this is when we hear more cussing. And it ain't just the customers. Who in the hell? People make you say some stuff. That lady owed $39,000. I caught myself stopping. You know, it's amazing when you do wrong and somebody catch you on, what you talking about? Like kids. What'd I do? And so God breaks it down to them. And he gets into the case of letting them understand how they have despised his name. For you have offered polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? You way, hold up. He's saying, you have despised my name by what you're trying to offer me. You have despised my name. You bringing bad food and crippled animals to offer to me. You offering the stuff to me that was going to die anyhow. Oh, y'all. You're going to offer me any old thing. Now, see, you got to understand something. He talked, and God makes a point here, and then I'm going to say something. He makes a point. He says, all right, the latter part of the verse, offer it now, listen, unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? You wouldn't offer it to the guy in charge, but you will offer it to me, the creator of the guy in charge. No, we had to bring a gift, And I thought of you when I brought this. Man, some of y'all would go out and borrow money so you could get something real nice and expensive. Oh, y'all ain't. Because you would not want to be seen offering the president a piece of junk. Yet we come to church. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get out the prayer. Said, I was thinking about you. I wanted to honor you with this one-eyed goat. You wouldn't bring the mayor a crippled pigeon. And if his people had sense, if you tried to bring it, they wouldn't let the mayor see it. They're trying to give you a bad goat, man. I find that fascinating. You know, in the book of Matthew, Jesus quoting Isaiah said, these people draw near to me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, that's when you know you're not really, your heart is far from God, when you can put up anything and say, this is me honoring God. My heart. He know I'd do better if I could. No. We do what we want to do. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm sorry. Take a minute, get an attitude. Get your attitude before I say it. If there's one thing I done learned about church folk, we do what we want to do. We got money for anything we want. We just amazes me. Because people do, so when we, and God's whole point is, if you don't honor me properly, it's because you don't want to. Don't tell me how you feel about me. Show me. And this is what he's saying to the priest. Y'all are despising my name. Y'all are bringing me bad stuff. You are presenting stuff you know ain't right. You got to try to go get oxygen in your mama name. Because you done messed up with God and he done cut your hair off. To the temple. So you even got time to think about what you're doing. I'm taking to God the worst thing I got, and I want to be blessed. I remember, and I shared this story with y'all, we were down in Puerto Rico doing some work, and we were preaching in some churches down there. I didn't want to reach in my pocket and pull out the wrong money. Here is somebody pre-planning not to give. How do you go? He might as well got a crippled lamb and say, I'm going to church with a one-eyed, three-legged lamb. And if God is moving, I want to make sure I can resist. When we try to figure out a way to shortchange him. Oh, y'all ain't. Well, Pastor, we don't have to get lambs no more. You absolutely right. You right. But you know what? That's why we got another part of the book. See, Romans chapter 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So y'all can't say, Pastor Wood, just trying to work up an offering. You know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your money say a lot about you. Our money say a lot about us to God, too. You know, we'll put down a deposit on an expensive set of clothes and throw a dollar in the plate or our time. Come on, y'all. Think about it. We could watch 80 hours of TV and can't pray for 8 minutes. Lord, bless me, bless them, bless those. Amen. Amen. And you got 30 seconds. And you think that's honoring me? How much time would you prepare to go to see the president? Go get your hair did, your nails did. Lord, listen, I was thinking. Oh, wait a minute, my show back on. Wait a minute, hold up. Verse 9. Now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious to us. Listen, this hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, yeah. And one of the things, you know, I need to say this. God does not expect us to be perfect for him to answer our prayers. First of all, if that was the case, nobody's prayer would ever get answered. However, God does expect you to have some sense. You are not going to act any kind of way and reap all, because he don't want to encourage you to think it's right and that he going to bless it. And God's whole point is, the reason why y'all not getting any answers to prayers because you keep bringing that crippled lamb. And the priest ain't having enough backbone to tell the people, don't you bring that to God, because if you bring it, I'm not offering it. Later on, God goes and tells me, it'd be better if you close the gates to the temple. But you know, I'm doing, you know, because after all, see, let me just say this. You know, we live in a day and a time when everybody wants to try to say you need to embrace everything. But you know, God kind of funny. In Psalm 66, throws the prophet in jail. Problem is, he gets sick. Now, he know, long as the prophet in jail, he can't talk to God. Because the first subject going to come up is the prophet. Lord, I ain't feeling well. God ain't going to hear that. The prophet in jail. And you put him there. And he never bring up the women. I'm just using that as an illustration. Because if I use some other stuff, folk might get offended. So since none of the brethren here that I know of living with three women, everybody feels safe. And since none of the women... But I'm going to read this one. This is Isaiah 59, 1 through 3. Behold the Lord's... You got to understand, perverseness is doing something twisted. In other words, if you're not doing something the right way, y'all feeling me? The problem that they were having that God was calling on, y'all, first of all, you wonder what all your issues are. Your issues are, you trying to bring me junk and want me to treat you like everything is all right. I didn't separate myself from you. You separated yourself from me by the stuff you chose. Because you got to understand, as Christians, we are all kings and priests under our God. And there's some things we got to take a stand on, even if it's going to put us in a position where we are not going to be popular. There are some things we got to speak our peace on because we got to say what God said. That's why he got.
That's right. Amen.
But see, you have to understand something. Because we have his word. See, there are some things. That's the way it is. And guess what? God ain't impressed by your feelings.
You hurt my feelings.
That's how come I don't understand thin-skinned Christians. You're dealing with a God who ain't impressed with your being hurt. But if I say something to you wrong, it's in the book of Romans chapter 1. Morons. And the thing about the morons is they the ones that think they bright. That's the funny part. But see, God has expectations. And it's amazing to me, even as I read the text, go up to verse 7 again. Toward God or for God reflects how you feel about God. So if you bring me garbage, you saying I'm garbage. Yes. If you bring me your worst, you're telling that's all I'm worthy of. If you pull out $1,000 and give me a dollar, you telling me according to your faith, it's been done to you.
Yes.
I'm a trivial thing in your life, and so therefore you walk in triviality.
Yes.
Then you want to pray when you get in trouble. Lord, if you get me out of this, and every one of us in here has done it, and I mumbled. No, you she said, would you say, honey? You cut your hair because I was ignoring you, and you wanted to get my attention. Did it work? Yes. But you haven't had to cut it at it. But you want to ignore it all the other times. You want God to be there when you need him, but you want to ignore him all the other times. What happens when you decide to pay him attention? And you notice we pay him attention when we want attention.
Yes.
Shut the doors for naught. Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hands. So, you bringing the wrong thing to God. Don't think it's being accepted. Just because you offering it, don't mean he accepting it. Just because, well, Lord. You're wasting your time if you don't want to honor God, but you want the benefits of him honoring you. It's not going to happen. And he's warning Israel. He said, listen, I don't have to accept this. See, because if I accept it, I will lower myself to your standard. God wants worship is because of what it does for the worshiper.
Amen.
See, everything God wants benefits us. Oh, y'all ain't even. See, there's a benefit to coming to God the way he wants us to. We make decisions with the money we have. When we prioritize what we do with our money, we are making a statement that conditions us. And God says, listen, if you will do it my way, if you will worship my way, it will condition you for excellence. It will condition you for prosperity. It will condition you in a way to do stuff the way God wants it done. It'll change us into something much better than we could have ever been on our own. See, there's something that happens when we worship God. First of all, it takes us past us. And when you worship God, it's a declaration that there's somebody who does not have to have all the answers, that there's somebody who's got the answers even in the midst of your trouble, even in the midst of your heartache, even in the midst of your pain. Then your mind realizes, I don't have to fix this, so you don't have to be schizophrenic. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be neurotic. Y'all ain't hearing me. You won't need a psychiatrist if you recognize that to nobody else about. But if I internalize it, it's going to cause me some problems because there are things we were never designed to handle on our own. And I guarantee you, most people with mental disorders are folks who tried to handle some stuff that they were never designed by God to handle. While you fighting that, you bringing him the one winged pigeon. While you fighting that, you giving God piecemeal stuff. But if you would honor him with your best, you will realize in the midst of that reverence, in the midst of that worship, it's not your fight. You wasn't designed for this. We mad at God. We really got an attitude because there was something we expected him to do and he didn't do it. And we never let that go. And you see, the enemy will tell you, don't trust him for the next thing because you don't like the way he handled the last thing.
That's right. That's right.
See, feelings buried alive never die. And so when you don't address that thing, and let me tell you what gets you past disappointment. Y'all ready for this? You sure? Because it ain't deep. Because I guarantee you, every last one of us in here can think of a time when we built this temple. We done regained worship services. We done built the wall around the city. We done come back from captivity, which we still got an attitude about. God loved us. Why was we slaves? Don't even get me started on that.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Why should I trust you for the next one? You're only going to hurt my feelings. You're only going to disappoint me. I'm never going to trust you for anything big anymore because you don't always do what you said you was going to do. We were supposed to go to the circus last week. And you ain't take me. Y'all do real. There's only one way to get out of this. There's only one way. You know, my wife has made me watch so much CSI. and Law and Order. And I never did like any of them. Ruled natural causes or whatever, but it was actually a homicide.
Right.
Well, see, you got to exhume those feelings. Because God didn't do it. Order to have somebody else dig up the body. See, you can't dig it up. The judge has to authorize. Y'all. Y'all. Now, I'm telling you, y'all waiting for something deep? Deep ain't coming. What happens, this is how you deal with it. What happens is, when you worship, show up. He didn't do what we wanted done. When you start to worship him and you start to honor him for who he is, God can exhume all of those parts in your life that don't line up with his plans and his purposes for us. And even though you may not be conscious of what he's doing, love you, I wouldn't care. But I got to tell you, there's a way out of this mess. There's a way out of this. You got to take your worship to a level where, listen, David said this, you know, God had started judging Israel because David numbered the people and a whole bunch of stuff was going on. And David realized, I got to offer, I got to make me an offering. And he went to the place where he needed to go to make, and a guy was going to give him. Given to God has to cost. Because if it doesn't cost you anything, then what you're saying to God is the only reason why I'm giving you something is because it's not costing me anything. That's what I think of you. Are standing up and raising our hands. Okay, now that's a part of it. But I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our energy. I'm talking about our money. I'm talking about all these other ways that are actually connected to our worship. See, when we have handled all Israel, because he loves them. And he's got a place he wants to take them to. The other thing is he knows that there's going to be 400 years before they hear from him again. So there's some stuff they need to get right in the meantime. You need to handle some stuff. 400 years of long is there a word from the Lord? It's been 3 centuries. But what are we supposed to do while we wait for that word from the Lord? How's your worship? See, worship will hold you. See, you may not be hearing from God, but God ought to be hearing from you. Had disappointments, moments of frustration, despair. But even in the midst of all that, God is still worthy to be praised. God still needs to be praised. He still needs to be worshiped because it's what's going to get you through. It's what's going to heal you. The stuff. Worship him for who he is. Honor him. Turn that up.
We have come to worship the Lord.
let's worship. Thank you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, your goodness and your mercy. You're a wonderful God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who is like unto you, O Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is none to compare. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. You are worthy, O Lord. Worthy, 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 worthy. Hallelujah. To receive all glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Scratching the surface here. See, the real worship is what you're going to do when you leave. The real worship is what you do next. The real worship is what you do from here. You understand what I mean? Let it transform your week. Just set aside some time. A little bit more time than usual. Say, Lord, you know what? Even the stuff that hurts, the fact that I got nerves at work to let me know there is some pain. Father, so much I have, and it's all because of you. Only reason why the devil bothers me, because he knows how much you care about me. But he pull over with you. And I'm sitting there in my car, and the first thing I said out of my mouth, you know, Lord, favor just ain't fair. The officer comes up, nice gentleman, takes my license and registrations, and sits in his car for a half hour. I think he took a lunch break. That was my opinion.